Hello everyone, this is Adam from Zelda Working Title Podcast. I hope you are all doing well. I would like to take this time and inform you that this podcast contains some suggestive material and situations. Suggestive material includes moments in which we use words such as and or. Please be aware that such moments may be present in this podcast. Thusly, listener discretion is advised. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic day and enjoy the podcast. And I'm still here. Sit down, listeners. Let's have a talk. It's come to our attention here at the Zelda Working Title Podcast that we're not receiving many emails from you. And this makes us sad. Week after week, we kindly extend our arms out to you listeners and ask your opinions about our topics, query your minds for questions that require answering, implore you to let us know how awesome we are. These are our favorite emails. And poor Matthew constantly beseeches you to send in some fan art. Yet every week, to our most unfortunate misery, we find that our mailbox is empty, a bleak and desolate place. So upset this has made us that we have organized some group therapy sessions in which we discussed our never-ending sorrows. Throughout this healing process, we came up with an idea. What if, instead of asking nicely for emails, we became more stern and demanding in regards to our requests? So, here goes. Prepare yourself, listeners.
You better start sending us some emails or we will find you, hunt you down, and you up so bad you will wish we didn't up so bad.
Now, with that, listeners, enjoy the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. This is episode number 29, and I am back. I hope you guys enjoyed my missing state during episode 28.
Who's talking?
This is Adam.
Oh, I thought you were dead.
No, I'm not. I'm back. I'm alive.
Oh. Okay.
I heard that you moved.
Really?
Florida.
Did I?
But we all know nobody lives in Florida. So.
Yeah, it's true. Kind of like nobody's in Wyoming. So, let's see. We've got Matt and Nick, obviously, and then Alex is here. And we've got Kyle Daniels. Hello, Kyle.
No,
it's Kyle Burnett.
Kyle Burnett.
It's the Kyle that doesn't fall asleep immediately.
There are too many
Kyle,
Kyles.
Say hi.
There's also Jack Daniels is here, too.
Jack.
Don't touch the mic stand. You're messing everything up.
Kyle, stop messing everything up.
Kyle, talk into the microphone.
Hi.
Kyle says hi.
How you doing,
Kyle? We're over here. We're at WKRX Studios.
Downtown Washington.
Downtown Washington. D.C. We're bringing you the funniest sound effects. The most hilarious sound FX. And some funny sound clips. And the loudest yelling in the greater DC area.
In HD.
HD radio brought to you. Actually, this is my time to... You can't see this. I'm holding it up to the microphone right now. But our new sponsor for the podcast, Peace Tea. It is an iced beverage called Peace Tea. Let me just say, true freedom comes with great responsibility. You must think for yourself. It's peace tea. Don't tread on me. We are in this together. Peace tea. When you drink it, you feel like you're starting a revolution.
Because the ingredients are brewed natural tea, pure filtered water, tea, sugar, citric acid, natural flavors, and sucralose, everyone's favorite. Everyone, remember to shake well and refrigerate after opening.
Notice there you'll find no preservatives and no artificial colors.
Yeah, these colors don't run. It's American tea.
Thanks, there you guys.
Go. Made in China.
You can edit that out if you want.
No.
You can't, or else we'll get sued by Peace Tea.
Well, now you know, listeners. Peace Tea. Go out and try some.
Also, get some Gamer Grub. Our friends at Gamer Grubbers did the theme song for the last podcast. How did you like it? Rate it on a scale from 10 to 10. And send those emails in to WTPodcast@gmail.com, where you can also send your favorite ponies. Your emails, your favorite questions.
Because we're going to get rid of that annoying bumper, Adam.
God, you guys are lively tonight, man.
Oh, Kyle, I'm turning the fan off.
All right, so why don't we talk about what games we've been playing?
Let's do it. Let's get into this.
Is Alex here?
I'm here.
Alex is here.
I'm just drinking.
He's just jerking off, you know.
The he didn't usual. Say jerking off. He said drinking.
I said jerking off.
Fucking...
Oh, I thought you said drinking off.
Shut up! Fucking asshole. Might as well jerk off in my drink right now.
Go ahead. Nobody's stopping
you. Family
you.
Podcast.
Well, we know what Alex has been playing. Adam, what have you been playing?
Let's see. I've been playing Final Fantasy 13 pretty nonstop.
Oh, did you beat it?
I finally beat it. Took me like 40, 45 hours.
Wow, it took you 45 hours to beat it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, long time.
This dude's not a closer.
No, I know. That's just how I roll. No, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. There's some pretty frustrating things in the battle system. I'm working on a review right now for N-Files, so that should be up hopefully pretty soon.
You want to tell us what you'd give it from 1 to 10? You want to spoil it for us?
I mean, N-Files doesn't do numbers, okay, but I guess I can come up with one. Yeah, I can come up with one. Okay. Probably around, like, 8-ish. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good things, and then there's a lot of really, really bad things.
Like no towns.
That didn't bother me.
Oh.
Really?
That would have bothered me.
No, really, what bothered me the most was the battle system, but... I won't get into that now because there's
too much. Yeah, I didn't
to
like the
about.
Gameplay part of that game, but the rest of it was great. 8 out of 10.
I didn't like the Japanese part of that game. 4 out of 10.
I don't like the Japanese part of this world.
Now, see, like,
again.
I was
Nukem
forever.
I was really excited for the lip syncing of the game because just all the trailers looked incredible. And most of the trailers I saw were Japanese.
Pre rendered.
No. Well, yeah, but
360, right?
I don't know what system they were capturing it from, but that's aside from the point. But, like, the reason it took so long to release in America was because they re-synced, like, the entire game, which is an incredible feat. You know, I'm really glad that they did it, but there are a lot of places where it looks like they didn't really try hard enough. Like, it doesn't really sync up. Whereas in the Japanese version, I didn't see a single spot where it didn't look, like, perfect.
Hey, you know what's really funny is that Half-Life 2 has some of the best lip-syncing, and they don't even have to do that themselves. They made up a program that does it for them.
It's true.
And it can do any language.
Yep.
And that game is actually fun. So.
So they I guess they do it by...
take that.
By phonetics, right? I guess phonemes, and then... Mm-hmm. Whatever the thing is.
Well, yeah, they have a muscular facial system that they actually made up, and it reacts to the different sounds that are coming out of the mouth.
Was
have
it
you
out, ever played?
Was it out since?
Have you ever?
Was it there since the beginning of like when Half-Life 2 first came out?
Yep, they developed it for Half-Life 2, and they've improved on it.
Why the fuck didn't the Japanese pick up on this? Now they pick it up on 2010, right? I mean, come on.
Because they hate Valve.
Kyle, you're gonna have to stand.
They hate America.
Actually, this is going to be part of the conversation later on, so we better not talk about it.
Yeah,
yeah, we're gonna get way more racist.
Okay, so anyways,
fucking gooks.
Okay,
that was
moving on.
They're World War II.
Yeah, all right. I've been playing some Pokemon Heart Gold. In fact, I'm playing it right now. I'm battling a Team Rocket Grunt with my Quilava.
Wait, so it's...
And one thing I've noticed about Team Rocket is that their Pokemon primarily consist of Rattata and Zubat. So,
yeah, always.
Yeah, so I'm pretty convinced that, you know, an organization consisting of Rattatas and Zubats could not do anything in the world. So,
those are the...
I find the occasional Abra.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's
annoying. I mean, you know, they've got some Koffings, a few, like, Weezings and Arbox. They've got some Ekans, but mostly it's Rattatas and Zubats, and it's just awful. Because they don't give you, like, any experience, and it just takes up your moves, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Have
you used the Pokepedometer?
Yeah, in fact, it's in my hand right now.
Do you cheat, or do you actually just keep it in your pocket and level people up?
No, I don't cheat. I don't need to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't...
Good.
It's not all that important to me. But right now they're doing an event where you can mystery gift online, and, like, you get a special route on the Pokewalker where you can catch Pikachus that know Surf and Fly.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
What does that mean?
That means that they know moves that they usually don't.
Yeah, you can't teach those to Pikachus.
I mean, Pikachu doesn't have wings, but he can fly.
And he doesn't have a surfboard.
He does in Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a completely different universe.
Well, if Pikachu can't fly, then I don't want to live in this world.
Well, he can, so now you don't have to kill yourself.
If loving you is wrong,
no,
I
just
want
to move
right
to a different planet, okay?
Oh, okay.
I kill myself.
My bad.
Yeah.
Let's see, I've been playing some Just Cause 2 demo still, because it's fucking awesome.
Can you just buy the game, please?
I have $10 for my Best Buy Reward Zone, so I'm thinking about maybe buying it before that expires. We'll see. I've been playing... I went a few hours ago to the school's arcade room and played Chase's video game that he installed in there. I believe we've mentioned before that Chase and I are both in a game engines class. And so Chase took his first game from that class. What was that?
It was
an Indian.
Okay.
Game engines.
So Chase took his first game from that class, and he is using it for an installation class that we're in. So he built a 6-foot arcade cabinet, and he installed his game in the school's arcade room. So now it's up. He's...
What's
got
the game?
It's called Ares. It's an 8-bit flight simulator, I guess you would call it. So imagine like Space Invaders without any enemies and without shooting. It's just flying and an ever increasing score. It's a minimal game, so it's not like...
Oh, okay.
It sounds like Flight Simulator.
Was it for his games as art project?
Yes. I mean, that's okay. What the class is.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
You should shoot some video of it and put it on YouTube and put it on the boards.
He's probably already done that.
He didn't put it on the boards, though.
Well, he hasn't posted it to the board.
I will tell him to do that.
Well, maybe you should do it.
Maybe I should, you know?
You should just shut up and do it.
Is that it for all your games?
I've been playing my games that I've been making for my class.
Well, nobody cares about your games.
You're not going to make it in this industry, okay, Adam? Only the Japs are making games these days.
For later, Matt. We're not talking about that now.
Seriously, though, what kind of games are you working on?
The one I'm doing now is like a 3D side-scroller. The project is supposed to be like an eccentric game, which is a term that our teacher has come up with. Basically, like what I guess defining it would, or like giving examples would be better than defining it. So, eccentric games are games like Portal or Braid or Echochrome. So games that kind of tamper with space-time or like teleporting.
I got you.
Yeah.
Play with reality.
So that, kinda, yeah. So what my game does, it's a side scroller, and like, the main mechanic in it is that you, every time you walk over a surface of water, you kind of warp from this overworld to a cel-shaded, like, black and white underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I haven't really fleshed it out too much, but, like, the underworld is supposed to be, like, memories of this main character. So, like, he's not really going to this place. It's just every time, like, he looks in a puddle, because it's constantly raining outside. So every time he looks in a puddle, like, he kind of gets lost in his memories. And so,
that's cool. And then he wakes up with an origami figure in his hand.
Yeah, right. I mean, I feel Heavy Rain kind of inspired the raining part of it. I don't know. Maybe.
And Jackson Pollock is the murderer of, is the origami killer or whatever his name is.
Yeah, let's not do this
let's
again.
Let's go.
Oh my god.
I like Jackson Pollock.
All right.
If Jackson Pollock was the killer,
so,
it'd be the best.
Matt, did you say what games you were playing?
Yes, but I'd like Alex to go first because I like him better.
Okay, sure. Alex, why don't you go first?
I masturbate into the cup and drink it.
Sounds like
it's
fun.
It's a great game. You maintain your
American
what's
classic.
That for?
It also maintains your protein content, as well as, you know, most of that sperm is going to go to waste, so you might as well drink it again.
Right, I mean, you're recycling it. It's good.
It's great. It's great when you freeze it, too, and you put a popsicle stick in there, or put some toothpicks.
Yeah? But, yeah? Do you use any food coloring with that?
No, come on, you got to do all natural.
No, peace tea,
no
artificial coloring.
Sometimes you put some sugar and some honey in there, just to mix it up a little bit. And since I don't know any women, I would do the breast milk of a woman if I could, but because I'm alone in my room by myself, I can't.
Do they have this game for the Jaguar?
The Master System?
I think they have it for the Sega Master System.
It's all on Engage.
Seriously, though, I've been playing that, and...
seriously, I've actually been doing that.
I've been playing Mario Galaxy, since Galaxy 2 is coming out soon.
Very good.
Yeah.
Fantastic game.
And I forgot how much fun it was. Especially
awesome.
Just picking it up and playing a couple levels. Although it's getting to a point where you play some of the levels and you're like, I really don't want to play this level. Like some of the desert levels, like, I really don't enjoy that much.
Just
some of the longer drawn out ones I really don't enjoy too much. But
in Galaxy?
Galaxy 2 looks like it's going to have more of a bigger planets, almost. It looks like it's kind of merging Galaxy 1 with 64.
I think
almost.
As long as it's not, like, cumbersome tasks that they give you, like, set of levels that really sort of, like, the levels I try to avoid, if I can, is, like, are the ones that, like, they have you sort of looking for stuff. I really like the action-packed ones where you're doing a lot of jumping around and and even if there's some puzzle solving, but anything where it's like
I love the one where you fight the big rock monster.
Oh, that's fun as hell.
The boo bombs. That was awesome.
See, I think the weakest levels in that game are the like the bee ones or the penguin ones, like the ones that are just one world. You know,
I don't know if
they're kind of flat.
I like those a lot.
I mean,
they're
more traditional 3D platforming, but
yeah, but I like that they mix those two up.
I just don't. I just don't like it when the objective in this world is, well, find the golden shell that the penguin is swimming with.
So I'm sure you love looking for all the blue coins, right?
You mean the
purple coins.
Those
Yeah, but I like the purple coins because they take you on a path.
Yeah, they're not. It's not.
They're not.
Sometimes.
The ones that I don't like.
No, on the Freezy Flame planet, that one's awful.
Oh, that's right. That one is
awful.
That one and
they're everywhere.
But it still takes you on a path a little
but
bit.
But it puts it in some really terrible places that you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I don't want to go
through. The first time
it.
Through, it took me, like, I think something absurd, like 4 or 5 hours to finally find all 100 of those.
Well, I mean, you really have to know the secret path.
The
one to get to the second star. It's a really difficult path to actually get to, because you have to do the triple jump. You have to be able to do the triple jump onto those little pedestals. And since you have the ice Mario for a limited amount of time, that was the other thing that really disappointed me. I think Galaxy 2. I hope they don't have that limited amount of time to be Fireflower Mario or to be Ice Mario.
I'm pretty sure they do.
I don't know, because it looks like the Rock Mario is another costume like the Bee Mario.
Right.
And then it looks like...
And the Bee Mario doesn't have a limit, too, did it?
Mm-hmm. Nor does Boo Mario.
Nor does Boo Mario.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, those are more, like...
Those are costumes. The other ones are like power-ups.
Right.
The flowers are the only ones that are timed.
And I just wish that the flowers weren't timed. I mean, I don't know why they made them timed to begin with.
Because it would make things too easy.
I mean, the game's already easy.
But it'd make it even easier, okay?
All right, we've wasted 20 minutes on what are we playing. We're not even
done with
what we're
playing. And I've been playing Smash.
Well, I mean, we can spend as much time on this as we can because we don't have much news. Yeah, no news.
Oh. Okay, I've also been playing Smash.
Keep talking about Mario.
Oh, keep talking about Mario or what? What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't care. Doesn't matter. Talk about whatever you want.
What else have you been playing, Alex?
I've been playing Smash. And actually, so...
Which Smash?
Brawl. One of my friends had moved to Texas, and another friend of mine had gotten married last year. And this is sort of turning into our poker night, so we're playing every Wednesday. This week it's going to be... we'll play tomorrow night.
You're playing Smash?
We play Smash online.
That is awesome. You have to get me in on that.
Yeah, right. Fuck that. but it's sort of like, we used to play Melee a lot. Uh-huh. He's a Jiggs player. I'm the Fox player. My friend's a big Link fan. And, he fucking...
Oh, man, my roommate's brother came to visit a few weeks ago, and he's pretty stellar at it. We played for a few hours over the weekend.
What character does he play as?
He was playing as everybody. I think his main was Toon Link.
Toon Link is really good.
Yeah, he was pretty fantastic. It was a lot of fun playing
with
him.
My biggest problem with Brawl is that what they did was they sort of evened out all the regular characters. And all the new...
They made Samus retarded.
They nerfed almost... All the really good characters they definitely toned down, and all the poor characters they bumped up. But then the new characters that they brought into the game, they sort of overpower them in some ways to the other characters. So
Meta Knight's
ridiculous. Snake is ridiculous. Yeah. Pit is actually a really good character. Toon Link is played differently than Young Link, but he's a lot better, and it's almost unbalanced. I mean, I really prefer playing Melee, but you know, I love playing with my friends. You know, they're all over the place now. So it's a lot of fun being able to do stuff like this.
How's the lag?
We've been playing off of... So the university has actually... we're no longer doing the bandwidth. It's not going by how much download and upload limits. It's going by... they're controlling the speeds, but it's great for gaming. So I've been hosting the games. And the lag has actually not been bad at all.
Cool.
If I play with my friend in Texas, it's actually really quick.
Good.
Awesome.
Man, so that's like halfway across the country.
Yeah, it's actually gotten a lot better than... I mean, when I played with you, Adam, it was just terrible. It was just...
Yeah, it was
like a
bad.
Second... It was actually at least a second delay. This one's...
Kyle, what have you been playing? No offense. That went on really long.
I have been playing... A decent amount of Pokemon Red version.
Very good. All right.
Where are you?
I am along one of the routes. I'm on the bike route.
Is there a bikey gang giving you the business?
At the stage where you fight the bikey gang?
Mm-hmm.
Are you purposely talking so slow?
And... I've been watching these guys play Brutal Legend.
Cool. Yeah.
That's about it.
So there's a segue for you guys.
Yes. If you guys have not bought Brutal Legend yet, you are stupid because it's $20.
How much? Okay, good.
It was $10 at Target for like a day.
Oh, man.
But it's $20 now. It is incredible. I feel bad that I didn't buy it when it first came out so I could support that game because it's so extremely original. And funny, and just overall one of my favorite games I've ever played.
Yeah, I love the demo.
Oh, it's so
just the writing is really good.
It gets like The demo was good, but I think that kind of turned me off the game a little bit, just because
I don't know, fighting.
You didn't see much of the overworld, and the overworld is what makes it really cool.
Okay.
And then on top of that, it like flips the game on its head about a quarter of the way through it, and it mixes like hack and slash with RTS.
Hmm.
And it's awesome.
Sweet.
It's really, really good. Matt, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. Don't let the commercials steer you away. I feel that it was very poorly marketed. When I watched them play it, it was not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah, I don't mind Jack Black. I think I like Jack Black. But a lot of people were turned off of the game because they figured, oh, it's going to be wacky Jack Black the video game.
Really?
And I don't think it really helped with him wearing the big cartoon arms with a giant flamethrower on TV and stuff like that. But, oh my gosh. Because he doesn't... It's awesome. The Eddie Riggs character is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of references to like metal stuff. Like, the guy you meet, his name is Lars Halford. And his sister's name is Lita Halford. And she looks just like Lita Ford. And... I guess Lars is modeled after like a really famous roadie that like he like toured with like Metallica and stuff like that. But
sweet.
I looked at a side by side comparison of him and the roadie, and they look exactly the same. But it's awesome. It reminds me a lot of Zelda, like if your ocarina could kill people, because you use the electric guitar to play a bunch of different songs,
right.
And some of them raise old relics. And then there's another one that like calls all the animals in the area to fight with you.
Nice.
And yeah, it's so good.
Okay. I want to say, I've been playing Darksiders. I just sent Darksiders back to Gamefly because the game sucked. I didn't even bother to beat it. Then I got Brutal Legend. Brutal Legend, for everyone who said Darksiders was like Zelda, they were retarded. If you have any friends that said that, stab them. Not a fatal stabbing, just a light stabbing around like the back, or maybe just one of the non-lethal areas.
Like a love handle stab.
Yeah, just enough to say that I hate you and you're wrong.
What about a fork to the eye?
I'm not willing to kill you.
That might kill him.
No. You don't want a disabling. Just a very uncomfortable.
A gentle reminder.
You're no fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, Darksiders is stupid. Darksiders is terrible. It's a stupid game for terrible people. It's the kind of game Hitler and Stalin would have went, forget our differences, you know what? This game is great. Let's be friends. Let's kill all of the people together.
Will it bring Israel and Palestine together?
Yes, so they can play Darksiders because they're both sides are wrong, and they're both dumb enough to like a shitty game. But Brutal Legend... It captures the spirit of Zelda without ripping off the gameplay. It has the nice overworld. It's got... I don't know. It feels like Zelda.
Yeah.
Even though the gameplay isn't exactly like Zelda. It doesn't have a bunch of dungeons. It has a lot of RTS elements. It captures the spirit of an adventure game much more than Darksiders does.
Yeah.
Darksiders feels like God of War... for retards. Brutal Legend feels like Zelda mixed with Warcraft or something. It's a really good game. Everyone should buy it.
Cool.
Buy two copies. Buy three copies. It's a prize of a new game, and give them to your friends, and everyone will be happy.
Birthday presents.
And it's hilarious and extremely well written.
When you say it's like an RTS, in what way is it like an RTS?
Well,
there's literal... When you do stage battles... It's an RTS.
Yeah, you have these. You lead an entire army.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And there's these pits of fans that you build merch booths on top of.
Yeah, it's the spirit of all the fans, and you build merch booths, and that's where you order your.
That's your resources.
Yeah, those are your barracks.
Yeah, no, they're your barracks and your resource towers in one. So you order new troops from there, and that's also where you get your.
And
resources.
When you during the first battle. Eddie gets shot with something in the back and he can't figure it out.
Spoilers.
And then, well, yeah, but I mean, this is also just part of the gameplay. And so when you get to the next stage battle, Eddie, like when you get involved in a giant battle, he like turns into a demon and he can he gains wings, and you can fly with him and control everything from up top. But then you can also drop to the ground and just hack and slash through the battle.
Yeah,
as well.
So it's an RTS, but then you also can join in on the ground fight too.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it's like you can customize your axe and your guitar. Like there's these they're relics that like open up and it looks like a garage and you drive your car in. And it's a store, and Ozzy Osbourne lives in, like, basically you go to hell, and he's there.
Nice.
He's the guardian. He's, like, the guardian of metal or something like that, and you purchase all your upgrades and stuff through him.
Is he voiced by Ozzy Osbourne?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
And it's hilarious. And
he looks pretty like sweet.
Ozzy. Yeah, you've got Lemmy Kilmister from from Motorhead is the Killmaster, and he looks exactly like Lemmy.
And then... what's his name? Rob Halford is Lion White.
Oh yeah, General Lion White. And
he's like they're a hair metal like group of people that are oppressing your people. And so you have to kill them.
Yeah, it's a great game. Everyone buy it, please.
All right, sweet.
I've also been playing. What else did I say?
Spirit Tracks.
Oh, Darksiders. Yeah, I returned Darksiders now. Stupid.
And you're getting Arkham Asylum in the mail.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I've been playing Spirit Tracks. Haven't gotten too much farther. I beat the next part of the
Fire Ice Dungeon?
I beat that last time.
Oh, okay.
I beat the next part of the main dungeon. Because you have to keep going back to the same dungeon and beat the different floors.
The Tower of Spirits? Or the Spirit Tower?
Yeah, so I beat the next part of that. Now I'm going to the water place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am.
Cool.
Some of those, the main tower is really fun, though.
Yeah.
Because you
control Zelda.
Yeah.
That's
cool. You can have her, never mind.
when you smacked your lips.
Yeah.
you can,
have her all to yourself.
Finger.
All right, Joker. Let's move on.
Batman.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
See, Alex is pretty good at it.
Whoa, somebody's stealing my Batman impersonation.
No, that's what the Joker says.
Yeah, I know, but I started. I'm the best jokester.
Can I be Chewbacca?
I'm the best impersonator. Yes.
All right.
You stole my Chewbacca.
Wait, what? No, Chewbacca says something. What does Chewbacca say after that?
Han! We need more Coors Lights! I thought he was an alcoholic. But he just drinks Coors Light because he doesn't want to, like... You know, he doesn't need the extra calories.
Coors Light is the choice beer of Wookiees, apparently.
He drinks wine coolers because he's baggy.
And they're delicious.
Oh, man. I was just thinking about... episode 3, the inclusion of Chewbacca for fan service destroys any continuity towards Chewbacca and the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
The rest of the movies.
No, he got his memory wiped.
Oh, okay. They erased his memory too? Okay.
No, it makes sense.
Gosh.
Wookiees are secretly droids.
No, it makes sense that Chewbacca is in the movie.
Why? How?
He knows Obi-Wan.
What?
Think about it. Episode 4.
Yeah,
no, he didn't
right.
know Obi-Wan. He did not know Obi-Wan.
He talked to him.
Obi-Wan specifically talks to Chewbacca, so it makes it.
Because he meets him. He talks to. He doesn't say, "Oh, my old friend Chewbacca's here, and he's on a ship." He says, "I met Chewbacca."
Well, no, it's not like they were friends. They're not friends in Episode 3. He's friends with the Jedi.
Do they even ever meet in Episode 3?
No, but he knows the Jedi. Know the Jedi and the Wookiees were allies.
Guess what? No. I figured it out. Star Wars was made in 1977. So George Lucas intended on Obi-Wan meeting Chewbacca for the first time and him being the first mate on a ship that could get them off of that planet. And then, in 2007, he was all like... Or was it six?
Yeah.
2005. He was like, oh, we gotta tie it together, and the fans need something to remember. Let's throw in Chewbacca, of course. No, it's stupid. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Okay.
I hate the prequels so much.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
I feel like I've been raped.
You don't like lightsaber scenes, at least?
No.
No?
Padme's boobs.
No. It's cool choreography, but they're not even trying to hit each other. They're just dancing.
With opera mute. With
what about the dance?
Well, can't Jedi see 1 second into the future?
No.
No, that's next.
Yeah, that's the movie Next with Nicolas Cage. He wasn't a Jedi. He was close to a Jedi.
That's the show Next.
Oh yeah.
With the daters.
Yeah, they can see 1 second into the future. They're not going to be getting no blows, so they say Next, and they send a new girl off the bus.
All right, let's continue on. So Adam's News Hour, very short this week, no actual news, but let's talk about some gaming releases. For PS3, we got the Heavy Rain DLC, The Taxidermist.
Did you play it?
I didn't yet, but it came out for those of you who didn't get it for pre-ordering the game. Let's see, Mega Man 10 came out on XBLA, Mass Effect 2 DLC that introduced Kasumi, the new character, came out, and Splinter Cell Conviction came out. For PSP, we've got Dead or Alive Paradise. I know how many of you...
Wait. Ask me if I got the new Mass Effect DLC.
Hey, Nick, did you get the new Mass Effect DLC?
No. Why, were you judging me? Kasumi. I didn't get it.
Oh,
you did it.
Very good. All right. For Wii, we've got Ogre Battle 64, Person of Lordly Caliber, and WarioWare DIY Showcase.
Oh, can we talk about Dead or Alive Extreme Beach whatever?
Volleyball Paradise.
Paradise?
Yeah. What about it?
I was saying it's hot.
Is it like mobile Dead or Alive?
It's like mobile
Extreme Beach Volleyball.
Yeah, it's like mobile jerk fest.
No.
You can play to
my
it on your
knowledge,
PSP.
Yeah.
Like,
to my knowledge,
like
there's no actual game. It's just like it's Pokemon Snap with the Dead or Alive girls.
Are you serious? It's not even a game?
No, I don't think so.
So you could be walking with the cup and masturbating while you're walking into the cup.
Yeah,
wait,
but you gotta be
walking,
holding a PSP.
You're walking
so what
into the cup?
So you're holding a cup and a PSP.
The
you
PSP
have your friend
is
helping
the cup.
You off?
Oh, that
you do
makes
what?
So much sense. So you could take a PSP Go
PSP.
And
yes.
Masturbate somewhere.
Two girls, one PSP.
This is brilliant.
PSP's the cup.
No, you take the PSP.
Okay.
The TNT.
You take the TI-97.
And you...
Mm-hmm.
You...
What do you do with it?
You crazy glue the cup.
Oh, you crazy glue the cup to the... Oh, it's that... It's that simple.
Yeah,
right.
You fucking
that's
retards.
That's how it works.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was that easy.
Guys,
I'm
ever
sorry.
Stopped to consider fucking crazy glue?
Sorry.
Guys! I think there's too much fighting on this podcast.
I'm sorry, Matt.
You guys just need to learn the lessons from Peace Tea. Some of your differences with tea.
And listen to Five for Fighting.
You know what, guys? I'm out of here. Peace!
Tea.
Peace tea.
All right. WarioWare DIY came out for DS, and Just Cause 2 came out on PC. So, let's see. Upcoming games, we've got Monster Hunter Tri, or Tree, however you pronounce that, on April 20th. April 27th is Super Street Fighter 4 for PS3 and 360, and that's it. Then we've got some gaming.
What comes out on April 20th?
Monster Hunter Tri, Tree.
On the 20th?
I think so.
Matthew actually played.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, we talked about that on the last one.
Yeah.
And how horrible it was.
I went to the GameStop here, and they were all out of the demos.
Matt said it was the worst thing he's ever seen.
What? What'd you say?
They were out of the demos.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently they were supposed to be pre-release bonuses.
Oh, really?
GameStop wasn't supposed to give them away, but that one GameStop did.
Nice.
No. Here's what happened. They were given by Capcom to give away, and then GameStop corporate's like, no, don't give them away. Only give them away if somebody pre-orders it.
Oh, God.
I hate GameStop
so
much.
Yeah, GameStop's the worst company in the
world. They're not getting my business ever again.
But they are.
No, they're not.
We'll see how long that lasts.
I'll buy my Best Buy. It's that easy. I buy most of my games at Walmart anyway.
Oh, jeez.
What about EV?
All right, well, I haven't been keeping up with gaming news. I've been super busy. How about you guys? Do you know anything?
I know, out of business.
Pokemon Black and White announced.
Yes. So I think right now we've got like maybe 10 screenshots. It looks pretty cool. I mean,
not good enough for me.
What they're doing, what they're doing is they've got totally 3D environments, and it's not top down specifically.
It's like three quarters.
Right, so the environment is totally 3D, but the characters are still 2D flat sprites. So they've got a few screenshots that are basically like cameras looking at the environment front on and just a flat sprite. And you can tell that they're flat, so it looks kind of like Paper Mario, which is kind of an interesting style. But it looks really good to me.
I want to see what they do with the battles.
Yeah, the battles, now you, instead of getting like the back art, you get the entire... like back
yeah,
of the Pokemon display.
Yeah, there's right. No videos of it. Yeah.
Right.
So we don't know what happens.
I want them to just make a full RPG Pokemon for the
everybody consoles.
I don't want that.
See, but
I get
less excited. I could care less about Pokemon now because they're just releasing the same game over and over.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about Black and White is that now at least they're trying something different. Which is a good thing, regardless of whether the result is good or bad.
Yeah.
Because if they try stuff, you know, they're not always going to be stuck with the same thing we've been doing
guys,
in the past, like,
all
what,
I
want to
say
years.
Is that they're jamming. And I hope you like jamming, too.
I like jamming. All right, are we jamming?
Yeah.
Slam a jamming.
All right.
A jamming.
Jamming. Hey, guys, they're bringing a whole new Rasta to the game. So you're going to be jamming... you're going to be Jamin.
Pokemon, Bob Marley and Ziggy Marley editions.
They're called Gangrene and not as talented.
No, Leaf Green.
And Gangrene.
Ow, my foot.
I'm not going to the doctor on Bob Marley.
I thought he had cancer.
He got gangrene and
yeah,
he died.
Because he didn't want to go to the doctor because he wanted to smoke pot.
He had leukemia.
That's how it is, man.
He believed in herbal healing.
No, he had leukemia, I think, actually.
Yeah, he got it from his gangrene foot.
No, I think he had leukemia and then he got gangrene.
Well, I thought gangrene leads to cancer.
No, I think it's the other way around.
I don't remember. I just remember I get all of my information about gangrene from the Powerpuff Girls. I know that one of them does really good impressions, but when he talks regular, he just, like, spits. And then there's a little Mexican one. And then there's one named Snake. And then he's, oh, Big Billy! That's all I know about gangrene.
Awesome.
What? From the Powerpuff Girls.
That's not a real thing.
No, that's
real.
Yeah,
it is.
It's real science. It's weird science.
Nick, that was just actors playing them.
Oh my. Are you serious?
No, Nick, that was a real show.
Yeah!
Spoiler alert.
High fives. Right in the mic.
No, that wasn't
horrible.
Too good. It wasn't too good,
hit
guys.
My shoe.
You might want to try that again.
Okay, so moving on. Now's our main topic.
Wait, one more piece of news that I can remember.
Ugh.
Sony is going to start releasing 3D games in, I think, July.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Kyle said it best. those guys are D-bags for doing that.
Why?
No, I was just kidding. I could care less. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't care unless it's Pilot Wings.
Ooh.
Pilot
Wait,
Wings
3D Pilot Wings?
3D fucking Pilot Wings.
Oh my god.
It's a bird's eye view, so it's like when you go up in the air, they're coming at you.
Right. I was talking to Chase today. I think a 3D Mario Galaxy would be pretty fantastic.
Eh.
I don't want 3D.
3D is okay, but I mean, I don't want to wear glasses while I'm playing.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing.
And it also, as good as it gets, it's never as comfortable as just looking at your TV.
Right.
But guys,
as good as it gets.
Dead or Alive Paradise.
Oh, ooh.
3D.
Oh.
Guys, is
Project
as
with Natal in 3D, so you can actually reach out and
touch
them boobies.
No, you know what?
You can almost taste them.
Oh, man.
I want
Milo in 3D.
You can touch his boobs.
I want somebody to touch my cock. I don't care if I'm touching...
You can take care of that.
I don't
that.
Care if I'm touching animated
you can,
boobs.
Well, see, you can put the 3D glasses on your penis, and then it will see in 3D. And then, you know, it'll be immersed in the virtual
but your
world.
Your penis only has one eye, so
I had a dream kind of like that once. I'll tell you about it later.
I just have a quick question.
Yeah.
Can Natal hold the cup?
Ooh. Can you super glue it to Natal? Oh, yeah. Milo, hold this. I'm going to jerk off into it. Okay, Claire. Kyle had never seen that before until the other day. I showed him that whole presentation. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Peter Molyneux, especially when he goes, that was real. That's a real connection.
No,
they aren't actors.
Yeah,
it was pre-rendered.
It was all acted too. So stupid. That was real, except for the whole thing.
Natal scanned in the picture that Claire showed Milo, now she is helping him with his homework. It's revolutionary.
You know, we already got enough homework in the world. We don't fucking need any digital homework.
For real.
That's how I feel about
that. We don't need your digital homework.
We got enough fucking orphans. We don't need fake kids anymore.
Oh, God, Alex.
It's Sony move or bust.
You know where there's a lot of orphans? Japan.
Speaking of Japan...
Let's talk about our main topic. Yay.
Japan!
All right. Japan. You like it do you not like it?
It's a nation.
One nation.
It's a seven nation.
Under Buddha.
Armies.
Indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
And technology. Fucking nips and their Gundams.
Ugh.
I saw
Nipsey
the
Russell
Gundam.
Lives there.
I saw the Gundam while I was there.
Fucking Nipsey Russell and his Gundams.
So anyway, we're going to talk about the contrast of games created in different countries and why certain consoles / games cannot penetrate foreign markets well and how that could be improved. Taken straight
guys,
from the Zelda Working Title podcast, topic.
I am drawing a big Venn diagram. One side says games made in America. The other circle is games made in Japan.
What about
in the middle?
What about games made in Europe? Like Heavy Rain.
Oh, well, sorry, I didn't mean America. I mean games made in the West and games made in Japan.
I see.
Because Europe is in the east.
No, it's considered west. Western.
It's in the
Asia.
Middle. It's in the middle.
Okay, games made by white people. Games made by chinks.
Slants. Slants.
Stop.
Second-class citizens.
Slant
okay.
Eyes. Games made by the people with round eyes.
Actual people versus subhumans.
Oh, God.
Ninjas versus knights.
Assassins. Ninja Assassin on DVD and Blu-ray.
Pirates versus Ninjas. Who's more hilarious?
Plants
who's more random?
Plants versus Zombies. LOL, Susan. So random.
So what do you say we actually talk about the topic?
Topic?
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, go
American
for it.
Games are cool because they're designed with Americans in mind, and Japanese games are horrible because Japanese men are actually men.
Hey, Kyle. Kyle, what's your favorite series?
Final Fantasy.
Kyle's actual favorite series is Resident Evil, which is made in Japan.
Right.
For Western audiences, though.
Yeah.
So they tried their hardest to not make it Japanese. But
yeah.
It's still very Japanese.
But it's good.
I was reading, this goes along with an interesting news topic. Capcom said that the next Dead Rising game, they're going to try to make it less Japanese. And they said that Dead Rising... The reason why it didn't do as well as they had hoped, or I don't know why they were saying this, but they said that the first Dead Rising was too Japanese, and they weren't intending it to be that way.
How is it too Japanese?
I think mostly...
You can use a katana.
I think they mostly meant... I don't exactly know what they were pointing out, but I think the camera system, like taking photos, and then also...
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's in...
The leveling up system and the items, I guess. And like, I don't know. I thought that it was very interesting. I think it was a nice mix of East Coast or East Coast. Yeah, East Coast, West Coast rap battles.
Yeah.
I like the way that you could
Japanese
like
American
carry around
battles.
Books to make your swords like better and stuff like that. And your items last longer.
Well, I thought in the second one you're gonna be able to cruise on your scraper bikes.
Scraper bikes? They go far. You don't even need a car.
Cruising on my scraper bikes.
Cruising my scraper bike looking hella retarded.
Okay, so let's... I think maybe the most obvious kind of... what am I trying to say?
You're trying to say...
The most obvious, like, problem we have here of, like... something not being able to penetrate a certain market is the 360 in Japan.
And Shenmue.
Well, it's because Japanese people don't like first-person shooters, for one thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have two consoles that come from their country.
Well, the problem is
they do
eyes,
like first-person shooters. They have Resident Evil Gun Survivor
Our
too.
Eyes are different, okay, guys? Their eyes can't see much. They gotta have a game
as,
where they
okay,
don't control
as,
much.
As an Asian, what I have to say is I have to watch out for dental floss, because my eyes are slanted and floss. Somebody could slit my eyes.
What?
I don't even understand that.
And because of that, my peripheral vision, our peripheral vision is fucked. So we don't like first-person shooters.
No, for real though, aren't Asian people like more sensitive to motion sickness or something?
I don't think so. We're terrible with alcohol.
I thought that's why they didn't, because like a higher percentage of the population gets motion sick, and so they can't play.
I wouldn't buy. You know, to be honest, I don't buy that because I'm fucking Asian genetically, and unfortunately, genetically, my penis is small.
Yeah, but doesn't mean.
No, but I mean.
I said a higher percentage of the population, not every single person.
No, but if it's a higher percentage of people, then it means that most Asian kids won't be able to play those games. And frankly, I could play those games without any problems, and most of my friends can play those games without any problems. I think it's more of a social thing more than anything else.
Yeah. Then why don't you like first-person shooters, which are scientifically the best kind of game?
I do like first-person shooters, you dumbass. Here.
But you're not from Japan.
Fucking
why don't you have
so it's probably it's more a social thing than
let's
a genetic
here.
Thing.
I think it also has a lot to do with what their highest form of entertainment. In America, action movies mm-hmm. are very, very, very popular. And they love anime. And like the JRPGs are anime with a little bit of gameplay in them. Mm-hmm. And first-person shooters are action movies.
However, you know, Capcom is responsible for all the Biohazard Gun Survivor games, the first-person Resident Evil rail shooters.
Guys,
yeah, those are just rail shooters.
I don't like what Nick is saying, that there's an actual, like, social reason. I'd rather say their genetics are just worse. They can't experience the same heightened forms of entertainment and fun as we can. You know, they're stuck playing their stupid games, and we get the fun ones.
Well, forgive me here. Resident Evil Survivor is not a rail shooter by... Is it?
I don't know.
They still have light gun
it's
games.
It's been a
it's
long
not,
time
no,
since
well,
I played it, but I seem to
I
remember
always,
control.
I also yeah, think that the, when we think about Japanese and Western games, the two genres we're thinking about are first-person shooters and RPGs, right?
Pretty much.
And the thing is, I've always thought, and I don't know if this is correct or not, this is a correct assumption or not, but Japanese seem obsessed with really deep stories in everything, in their games.
But they're not even really deep stories.
Not necessarily,
stories.
Well,
okay.
Because they're complex
wait,
stories. There are all sorts of games that they don't sell in the West for the Western audience, like all the like Tamagotchi.
That's true,
games.
But when we're talking about gamer games, for the most part, hardcore gamers.
But the hardcore there. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing to say because video games are way more important to the culture there.
Well, it's starting to become important in the culture here also. It's turned almost into an art form, right? To tell a story.
I guess in some ways,
not every way.
It's becoming a genre of games in America, like
Half-Life was really the first game that had a really big story, but first-person shooters were always pretty big. I mean, Doom was huge, Wolfenstein was really big. That genre started getting huge early on.
But I really don't think like first-person shooters as we know them today really became popular until like Halo.
Yeah,
because that's when just like
no,
an explosion.
First-person shooters became popular at Doom.
Doom well, was really it.
I mean, like widespread popularity.
Widespread popularity.
Oh, GoldenEye especially
on consoles. Consoles it started at GoldenEye. PCs it started at Doom.
No, not
yes.
All
of my friends played GoldenEye. Just because you like Halo,
I would
doesn't
even say
mean...
PC.
No, I'm saying like people who didn't originally like play games.
No.
I was playing first-person shooters
Adam,
with my friends
reason,
before Halo. I didn't even have an
for
Xbox.
That is because PC gaming has always been a fringe market.
Right, I know.
Console game. The reason it got big with Halo is because, or what? The reason you think it got big with Halo is because.
Is
multiplayer,
multiplayer.
Everybody owns a console. It's easy for everybody to plug in a console to a TV.
And also the Xbox supported LAN
yeah.
play. And that's why Halo became so popular. But my friends and I had sleepovers all the time to play GoldenEye.
Same here.
Right,
yeah, but
you guys
I mean, that's
you guys
just
are
anecdotal
gamers.
Evidence.
Right.
But Yeah, but the thing is that GoldenEye was a hugely successful game.
Right, I'm not saying it wasn't.
That game started multiplayer first-person shooters. And then after that, I mean, the only thing that Halo changed in terms of multiplayer first-person shooters was the health recharge.
And even... I'm not saying at all that Halo is innovative. I'm just saying
it's a little drifting from the topic. But the point is that when we're talking about the evolution of gaming in Western culture, we're talking about the evolution of first-person shooters for the most part. That's the big genre we're talking about. That's exclusive to the Western culture. So when you're talking about Europe, is like Counter-Strike is huge in Europe. Counter-Strike is huge in Western countries. It's not a very big genre in say Japan or Korea. But when you're talking about Japan, for the most part, the big genre that you're thinking of is RPGs. You're thinking Final Fantasy. You're thinking Dragon Quest. What's the biggest seller is, was it not Dragon Warrior, right? What was the, there was, it was another Square genre that was pretty much mark, it's pretty,
Legend of Dragon?
It's in Japan. It's huge in Japan.
It was
a Dragon? Dragon Quest?
It's not. No, I don't. It might be Dragon Quest, but I don't think it's.
But that's
that.
Traditionally.
It's something
similar to it. But whatever the case is, like that's like Square's biggest game, and it came out eventually. Yeah. It came out on the Wii, but that's an RPG. And
RPGs are very much the baby of the
Eastern culture. Now, market. There's also little games, like somebody had mentioned earlier, but that's also happening in the West. What we call throwaway games, like freaking the weird ass games that you see. In Japan, that's marketed a little more towards the Japanese mainstream, and
Mr. Mosquito.
Yeah, we have similar things here.
I picked up a copy of Captain Rainbow while I was in Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't play it, but now I can say that I have it.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of.
Well, I always thought that because the RPG was so big, I thought one of the reasons was especially their focus on story, especially.
But also. But the thing is that Japanese people, or Japanese developers, didn't make RPGs.
No.
I mean, Western developers, Western RPGs are just completely different than Japanese RPGs.
Yeah.
Like we talked about on the JRPG podcast, Western RPGs are more about choose your own adventure. JRPGs are more about watch this story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening now, though, is that, and a lot of Japanese developers have actually mentioned this, Western gaming is actually bridging the gap. Western gaming is doing a lot better of a job than, say, Japanese RPGs.
But
what
do you mean?
In terms of, let's say, when you compare a game like Mass Effect or Half-Life, or not Half-Life 2, Fallout 3, where there's definitely huge RPG elements, but it incorporates it into an already popular Western ideal. So the way for Western first-person shooters to get bigger...
It's the action game. Action. Those are action RPGs.
Yeah, so the way for the action game to get more deep, to get deeper, is by adding more story to it. The Japanese haven't really done the other way around. They're trying it. Like, Final Fantasy XIII is an example of it, I guess, right? They're trying to make it more like a Knights of the Old Republic kind of gameplay style, or keep you... I mean, what's the gameplay like in Final Fantasy XIII? What's the fighting system like, Adam? I guess it's a good time to bring this up.
Sure. Okay, so you guys played Final Fantasy VIII, right?
Unfortunately.
Yes, did you play Final Fantasy XII?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, to me, like, it's kind of a combination of the two. So, you've got what's called the ATB, which is, like, a real-time bar that fills up over time, and once that's full, you can start doing your actions. So you can insert in actions to your ATB queue, and when that fills up, you know, the actions in your queue get performed sequentially in the order that you chose them.
Yeah, it's turn-based fighting.
It's not turn-based, really. It's
well, it's an evolution of turn-based fighting.
Yeah, that's how Final Fantasy VIII was too.
Right. So
you wait for your meter to recharge.
Right. I mean, the enemy's got the same thing too. So you know, their ATB is charging over time as well. So normally, what you have is just characters going, you know, in no particular order because their ATBs charge at different times. including the enemies. And so, like, you've got your characters moving around this pretty big kind of, like, battle area. And you can only choose the actions of one character rather than your entire party like you could do in past Final Fantasy games. So, you're only controlling one character, and then the other ones are performing actions according to AI.
So do you think that...
And I mean, that's pretty much it.
Do you think... So, after playing so many Final Fantasies, do you think that they're really trying to go for a more action-oriented... Do you think they're going for a more action-oriented game now?
I don't think so. They're just upping the graphics and keeping the same mechanics.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying different ways to do stuff with turn-based
mechanics. The way they're changing the random encounters into, like, you can actually see the enemy.
Right, I think they're done with random encounters. I think everybody's done with random encounters except for maybe, like, Pokemon.
And it seems, I mean, in terms of the storytelling also, I mean, one of the other big series, like, Metal Gear Solid's a really good example of this. They really have, the movies are still separated from the actual gameplay. They make a really big distinction between the two. And I see that more and more Japanese games versus...
Yeah, that's a good
American
point.
Games
yeah.
tend to incorporate, like Half-Life 2 was especially revolutionary in that they really try putting the cinematics in real time. There was no cinematics, right? You were in the moment when those things happened.
I wonder, like, what's the reasoning behind that? Because, I mean, originally, the reason you had cinemas was because it was easier on the machine, you know? You were just playing, like, a movie
file. And technology,
file,
yeah, there was
rather,
a limitation in technology
right,
also.
Right, but now that we can pretty much almost simulate cinema graphics in-game, you know, not many games are using cinemas anymore. But, like, I wonder now, what's the reason behind using cinemas,
the
like
reason
Final
why?
Fantasy XIII or
Metal
Gear Solid?
Because people are used to it. Because people are used to it and people like it.
Do you think?
Yes.
It's exactly what it is.
Because Japanese... Also... I mean, Alex brought up a point. Japanese companies don't really change. I mean, it sounds like that's being harsh on them, but it's kind of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a lot of companies doing really innovative, like, changing the game styles a lot.
Mm-hmm. And
like,
it also... In the Metal Gear Solid games, you're not seeing the entire game just through Snake's eyes. And it's telling a broader story than with Half-Life. You're always Gordon, and you're always.
Well, I mean, the thing is,
seeing.
With the Metal Gear Solid series, you're always with Snake, though, unless you're talking about Metal Gear Solid 2, where you're, you know, with Raiden for the second part of the game. But Metal Gear Solid, the first one especially, you're always through Snake's eyes. It's always in Snake's perspective. You know as much as Snake does. You don't know any more than he does.
But the cutscenes in 3 and 4 weren't just. Just around Snake, right?
No, the cutscenes in all of them didn't.
Yeah, they cut around
Snake.
To other characters.
But it wasn't like knowing so much more that it wasn't a game breaker.
Yes, it was.
It's a different way of telling the story. Yeah. In Half-Life 2, you tell the whole story through one man's perspective.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's a problem with cutscenes.
No, I tend to think like the way cutscenes seem to work when you're talking about a game that's mission based. Where you have, like, Mission 1, Mission 2, Mission 3, Mission 4. Splinter Cell is a good example of this, where you don't have to... You find out parts of the story, but in between the missions, you find out more information through the news programs or through cutscenes of what's happening around the world. And then you play the game.
Yeah.
In this case, it's you're in the middle of the action. The game stops. It literally stops. And then something happens that happens sort of beyond your control. One of the most disappointing things about Metal Gear Solid 3, I didn't play the game, but I saw a friend play it, and you get your ass kicked at one point against the boss. I forget what happens, but the thing is, you don't play that part. You don't get your ass handed to you. Like, you can't really even have a chance of defending yourself. And
yeah, but that's just to progress the story.
Yeah, but it's sort of... Well, you're really there, right? And the only reason... You're then asking yourself, well... Come on, if I was playing it, I could have fucking defended against this shit. Like, that was what was running through my mind. Like, it's a cutscene.
I mean,
they have to hamstring it because it's part of the story.
Right, but
well,
I mean, that happens in all games.
It happens in Fallout as well. I mean, there are sequences where your character kind of locks up, and then like there's this a portion of the game where you get hit with a grenade out of nowhere, and
no,
you can't
but that
move.
Makes the thing is yeah, you're different. Still in.
No, yeah. No, it's different, but it's a way to tell the story.
Right. I mean, the stories cannot. Can't... The stories at this point in technology, stories cannot be completely open ended.
No.
However, games like Mass Effect and Heavy Rain are trying.
Well,
to
let's put this
go
way: I can imagine for Metal Gear Solid 3.
No, Mass Effect.
For
is
Metal
very
Gear
linear.
Solid 3, in that scene, what I can imagine is, let's say you do fight the boss, and no matter how you block, you still get hit. Like, the player will always lose. But you always...
You can do that, but I mean...
At
least gives you the illusion that you're in on the action. You're actually there. You have some control over your character, whether or not your character gets hit or not.
I don't really see how this relates to the topic.
It doesn't. Well, no. None of what we've been saying relates to the topic.
No, it does.
I mean, this is like... This is,
he's saying
the
this,
idea is
that
why,
happens in...
Why not put it... Okay. The Japanese philosophy seems to be... Put it into a giant cinema, make it into a movie, rather than incorporate it into the actual game.
Yeah, and Nick brought up Fallout as a defense of that, but really, Fallout, you never watch anything happens to your character.
That's true.
When you get hit with that grenade, you get hit with that grenade. You are disabled.
Yeah.
It doesn't pan out, and your character, like, I don't want to go on or something. You are disabled so that people can get to you now.
But there's so many games, and there's so many Western games that seem, and I think this is why a lot of Japanese game makers that are in on this type, this part of the market are a little bit, I don't want to say afraid, but they're starting to get intimidated. They're realizing they're a step behind, at least one or two steps behind. You have a series like Fallout 3, Mass Effect, you have BioShock, you have
Uncharted is a really good one too, where you play what would in a Japanese game be a cutscene.
Okay.
Uncharted, you play them.
Is that by a Japanese maker, or is that...
No.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, so that's a Western... Okay.
Is that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
I think that Western audiences are slowly shedding the dependence on the East Coast for innovation. I keep saying East Coast.
Hey, I'm from New York over here! Depend on my games!
All those stupid New Yorkers shoving their games down our throats.
We don't need to fill it.
No, but the Japanese game developers are no longer the big inspiration for
Western
games.
I think it depends
games.
What we're talking about. I mean, I think in terms of storytelling, I think that's definitely true. In terms of making new types of games, I think the East still has a leg. I mean, really, the only company. The only company I can think of is Nintendo. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's Nintendo.
Pilot Wings.
But well, even something like Wii Fit, even the Wii itself, and I don't want to be sucking Nintendo's dick all day,
but
if it was a woman, I'd be sucking her tits. And the point is, I mean, when it comes down to let's make a brand new game that nobody has ever tried before in almost any way, it seems to be, I don't think that's exclusively to the East or to the West. I mean, you have guys like Will Wright doing really fantastic things with different ideas. A game like Spore is brilliant. You have a company like Nintendo. You have Blizzard, who are, you know, you have a lot of different ideas coming out, and they're really starting to expand on some of these things.
Also, I have a question that I honestly don't know the answer to.
Well, go ahead and ask it.
You know, Heather, there are a lot of games popping up now, independent game studios in America, going through platforms like Xbox Live Arcade and Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Are there those companies in Japan?
The people who make Flower. Are they a Japanese company? No.
Yeah.
No? No.
Yeah. Weren't they?
They're not Japanese.
I'm pretty sure they are.
I know that the lead designer is, but I'm not sure if they're based in Japan.
I don't think Flow and Flower were made in Japan.
Well, look it up. We've got the internet. How about Nobi Nobi Boy?
Yeah, where was Nobi Nobi Boy? What else did the creators of that make?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if there's anything. I don't know if there's a Japanese equivalent of Steam, though.
Right, but just
he's saying that there's a lot of independent developers coming out of Western audiences.
Yeah,
right, there's also indie games.
That game company.
Oh, okay, never mind. Yeah, they are.
That game company is not a Japanese company.
I think they're...
Yeah, they're from California.
Southern California. Yeah, never mind. I don't remember what Nobi Nobi Boy came from.
But Nobi Nobi Boy, I agree. I think Japanese. But what I'm saying is that all the independent games I know from Japan that I've ever seen online are all shoot 'em ups, like the vertical shmups, like the
like
bullet hell shooters.
Last TV.
No, like
or Spanish TV,
really? Like 1945, those type of games.
Oh, okay.
Like the vertical scrolling plane shooting games. Yeah,
1945, right. We won the war.
And Twin Dragons.
Yeah. Games like that, those are the only independent games I've ever seen come out of Japan, and those are just rip-offs of games.
And the thing is, those games were actually, inspired from old American games. Right? I mean, so Americans are the first ones that pretty much made the video game market, and then Atari crashed. And then you had companies like Nintendo and Sega come up afterwards, and Namco was there with Pac-Man and so forth. But, I mean, it seems like it's very much... Americans are very good at innovating, of making something brand new, and the Japanese are actually pretty good at making those things better in some ways. And it seems to be... It's getting to a point where you have these two dispersed markets, but Americans are doing a really great job right now of trying to bridge that market together.
I don't think the demand for something new is as high in Japan.
Yeah.
Or whatever. If it's new, it might be something different.
Because Western audiences are very very fickle and want to have something new at all times.
Well, I mean, how popular is a game like Fallout 3 in Japan?
I don't think it's very popular.
Is it just not popular at all, or is it even being sold there?
I don't think it's very popular.
No, I'm sure it's popular, just not as popular as it is here.
As Endless Sonata or Star Ocean or whatever.
They're still enjoying their Dance Dance Revolution 3.
But like,
oh yeah, they haven't played a game since Dance Dance Revolution.
Well, I mean, a game like, as much as we want to make fun of like the Japanese being able to do ridiculous things with certain games, like be Contra with their eyes closed, we have the equivalent of that here. You know, as much as we see like the DDR guys are great, the Asians are
the
great
blind
DDR.
Kid who beat Zelda.
Oh, speaking of which,
you have Guitar Hero.
Just
you have Guitar
note,
Hero.
Did you guys see the law passed in Korea about not playing games past a certain hour? It's like a curfew.
Are you serious?
Because so many young Koreans were dying from sleep deprivation.
Jeez,
fucking gooks. They're my
people. I blame
people. StarCraft. Yeah, Star Blizzard.
Right, exactly.
You know, Blizzard is fucking crack.
Yeah.
Blizzard is killing millions.
Blizzard is keeping...
No.
It's not
StarCraft. It's MMOs.
It's
World Warcraft.
You want to talk about a screwed up culture or video game culture in Korea. It's disgusting.
Okay.
What was it? Legacy. There's an MMO called Legacy, I think, in Korea. And it was getting so bad with the currency exchange that it was actually fucking up the Korean the Korean stock market at one point in some ways.
God.
I think it might be a bit of a game addiction problem.
I'm sure there. I mean,
it's not a problem.
There's two channels devoted to StarCraft.
when gaming destroys your stock market,
that means the games are good. That's all it means.
I'm not addicted to video games. I just don't need to sleep. I'll die before I stop playing video games.
Well, I mean, I guess that's another one. I mean, StarCraft is actually, I don't know how big it is in Japan. It's not. It's probably not as big as it is in Korea, though.
No, yeah. Korea. They have television.
Two.
Networks.
They have two. Two networks.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
Only two. Those... Come on, guys.
Yeah, I know. We got like five ESPNs.
Right.
But at least with ESPN, you're talking about
who
sports.
Who needs ESPN?
This is like apparently the channels are exclusive to StarCraft, to one game.
Oh man.
When the fuck did StarCraft
that's
come out?
Insane.
Like the 90s?
Yeah,
98.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
But now everybody is playing their pirated versions of StarCraft 2.
I mean,
are there pirated versions of that already?
Probably not, but I'm sure everybody's got the beta.
I mean, Korea wept when Blizzard said they were going to delay the game.
Everybody wept.
No, but Korea, especially, I think Korea just shut down for the day.
It actually never stopped raining in Korea.
Heavy rain.
The country itself.
The Korean flag was at half staff for months.
Half mass.
No, I like half staff.
Oh yeah, half staff.
No, they killed half their staff out of anger.
Right.
Yeah, the Korean staff.
No, we must sacrifice
more
Koreans.
They brought out They brought out the Korean staff, which is a big staff that used to beat all their citizens.
Of course.
And North Korea almost invaded because they don't have computers, so they don't know what the fuck is going on.
No,
they have one computer.
If you give
Kim Jong-il, he wants people to use it sometimes.
He's got Windows 95.
He just has IMDb open all the time.
He just texts his Yahoo email.
Okay, guys.
He's always on Perez Hilton's blog. That's all he does.
So we've been talking a lot about the differences between particularly Halloween. Like American and Japanese games, but have we really answered the question like why certain games can't penetrate
culture,
the markets?
The cultures are different.
Completely, that's what we went over.
Is that the only reason?
People.
Well,
the main reason.
The cutscene thing. I mean,
they have completely different sensibilities, and first-person shooters cater very much to the Western audience, to the Western action movie.
And Japanese babes are hot.
Well, I mean, a lot of the Japanese stories also are very similar to one another.
You know what I mean.
They're action-oriented, but they're told in almost an anime style, which is their leading
point
of entertainment.
But, like, the stories you notice, like, all the stories are about disenfranchised youth? In every fucking...
It's because their parents are forcing them to go to
schools. About it. So every Final Fantasy game after 7, what the hell is the game about?
Well, now it's just about how black people are weird when they run. and they have birds
living
in
their hair.
Because they're dirty.
But it's usually about... It's always about... And Zelda sort of falls into this category also. It's about a little kid that has to find himself or herself through a ridiculous adventure, and in the end he finds himself, hopefully, or herself.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of the stories, I mean, you take away the major plot points, but...
Well, I mean, what are the stories of American games?
You just blow up
some
shit.
Some guys killing
hero.
A bunch of shit.
The dirty Russians are trying to steal our freedom.
Right, that too.
Russian is like slang
in American games, it's whatever
Sandy,
can bring
bro.
The biggest amount of action. Like, you know, you have to, like...
yeah. What can,
explosion!
What can blow up,
so you have to
yeah,
be,
what can
okay,
blow up
be
the
be
most
government,
national
right?
monuments?
Terrorists!
It has to be terrorists,
yeah.
or Nazis,
post,
or aliens.
Post-9/11 gaming is all about terrorists.
It's one of three things. It's terrorists,
that's,
aliens,
that's,
or
that's
Nazis.
That's pretty much it, Alex. I think you nailed it on the
because
head
because
right
it's
there.
Whatever's the most evil thing. It doesn't matter what
right.
it is. It has to be
Russians.
It has to be something that everybody knows is evil.
White Russians.
Gorbachev. Well, the real enemy in Modern Warfare 2 is people who are trying to get connecting flights to LAX. they just all get shot in the back. You gotta kill them all. How horrible is that? Those poor digital people are stuck in airport security, and then a bunch of dirty Russians.
Here's the horrible part: is that they're like. After the first one, they're like, why did everyone like our game? Oh, because of that one scene where you play the guy that dies? Okay, let's put 10 of those in our next game. That'll be 10 times as good.
Are you guys really think that's bad? You should see some of the things that I do in Gary's mod.
Wait, Gary Coleman's mod? The one where it makes everybody smaller?
Yeah. Harry's mod. He makes everyone hairy.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that junk?
Well, I'm curious now.
Email!
Carrie's mod. You just dump pig's blood on everything. The main difference is just the sensibility of a completely different
but
culture.
I think with the evolution of... With the way the games are evolving, the bad guy ends up being a little bit harder to define now. So, like Fallout 3 is not necessarily... It's a bit of aliens, but then there's stuff you have to think about, right?
It's the government.
It's
the U.S. government.
Yeah. The Enclave.
It's
the
man,
of the U.S. government.
The man keeping you down.
It's John Henry Eden.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
John Henry Eden.
All right, so...
Email.
Anything else, or shall we move on to emails?
Emails.
Let's move on to emails. I think we covered it.
All right.
It's a good discussion.
It's pretty good. Let's see. Is this new? Yes. All right, this is from Noah Harned. Greetings. I thought it would answer some questions that Matt asked on episode 27.
We already read that.
Did we?
There's only four emails.
Oh, did you guys read that on the last one?
28.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So where are we starting? Natty Hair?
Yes.
Okay. Natty Hair says, I like your new hair. And
it says, Dear Matt. Dear Matt is the subject line.
Yes, Dear Matt. And then the message says, "I like your hair." And then there's a bunch of ASCII, which we think is supposed to be a naked woman.
No.
I don't know.
It kind of got lost in the...
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's not formatted correctly, so we don't know
what
it is.
Copy that and then... Oh, shut up. Copy that and then search it in Google, and maybe you'll find the ASCII.
Ah. It's clever.
Dear Natty Hair, thank you so much. Baseball fan 12345790. Obviously a fake email address. Thank you. I like... show me a picture of your hair, and I'll review
we'll
it
comment on
podcast.
It. Yeah. All right, D&D. I like the Resident Evil movies, and Silent Hill, from what I remember, was a mindfuck. I'm not really picky when it comes to movies/.
What? You never read the subject lines.
Oh my god, video game movies.
It's so a response to the video game movie.
Yeah, which was what we talked about.
Okay. I'm not really picky when it comes to movies/TV, etc., so whatever. I will say, however, that the Doom movie sucked ass. The only thing that was tolerable about that movie was the first-person scene at the end, which was still subpar. I kind of missed Adam's NewsHour. I don't really read Kotaku or anything regularly to get release dates and news about games, so it's nice to have it all bundled. Also, keep the podcast headed towards a more Christian-friendly audience, too. I don't think our Lord and Savior would approve of some of the things you guys
fucking
say. Bless you all.
Jesus isn't real.
Ah, Jesus. What did we say?
Because remember I said...
What don't we
more
say?
Family-friendly Christian podcast last time.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
That's right. It's a reference to what Matt said, I guess.
Brad Taylor writes in, subject WTP. Oh, message.
Hold on. We're not going to respond to D&D's email?
All right. What do you have to say to D&D?
This is a terrible email. Why'd you... I can't even read it.
All right.
He likes the Resident Evil movies. That's enough of a bad.
Yeah. I agree. The Doom movie sucked ass.
I wanted to point out the Dead or Alive movie. Did any of you guys see that?
Oh gosh, I saw portions of it.
Yeah, it was terrible. But I really really liked the colors. They used lots of very bright colors.
Oh wow. Yeah. This isn't the 1930s. It's not like they just discovered color film.
Those are some pleasing colors.
No, but they were. Yeah, they were.
I like that there Wizard. I didn't like that there Wizard of Oz. A little too preachy. But the colors
it's
were
amazing
nice.
Amazing with the cinematic quadrivision.
And how about
it's amazing the way the minstrels really look like those Negroes.
All right.
No, it's not really amazing. It's disgusting.
Brad Taylor, they should make a movie for Heavy Rain. Anyways, who do you think should play your favorite video game characters? I vote for Orlando Bloom as Link because he's already used to playing an elf, and Monica
clearly
Lewinsky.
He's already in that.
Monica Lewinsky should play Kirby because she's good at sucking. I attached the picture.
Whoa, such a dated joke. Oh man.
I attached.
This is actually it's Guy Pearce who's sending us this email through his time machine.
Yeah, there you go.
From the time machine movie.
That's a dated movie reference.
Hot Tub Time Machine
movie.
I know.
I attached the picture, but I used sprites because I suck at drawing. Keep up the good work, guys.
I love how you said just I attached the picture like we would know what the picture
the
is.
The picture.
Oh, the picture. Do the skit. Yeah. Do the picture.
Do you guys want to describe
it? It is our entire discussion about items in video games.
The locker room.
It's the women's locker room where we're all using our favorite items to peek into.
And Jeff Lynn is there playing his classic hits.
Cammy is there. We got the portal, us peeking through the portal and taking a look. Tanuki Mario is there. There's some girls. Looks like they're having a three-way, I believe.
Did you see this picture, Alex?
Yeah, I saw it. I love how Rush is... I like about Rush.
Yeah, Rush is
there. Where's Rush?
He's looking down the skirts.
Oh, okay.
Young Link is using the Wind Waker to look up girls' skirts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jeff Lynn is playing his classic hits, of course.
What did we say about Twilight Princess Link? Why is he there?
He's just hanging out.
All right.
I think maybe he rode in on his horse.
I don't know. I don't know what these things are. Though.
Yeah, but so then there's a picture of what looks like Samus, Zelda, and Peach, and some other characters.
And
they're all
Misty.
Naked. They're all naked, just hanging out.
Yeah, those are all the girls that were peeking.
Oh, Misty and
toppling each other.
Daisy is back there.
There's no Ash's mom. I don't see Ash's mom. But yeah, Misty's in there.
Ash's mom.
No, that's true.
I want to say thank you, even though technically not the best picture I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, and there's somebody using a portal gun to look through it too.
We already said that.
So is Nick.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of visualizing
Thank you, Bradley.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for illustrating our podcast.
Are you related to Brad Taylor from Home Improvement?
Yes, he is.
Email us.
Hey, your dad, Tim, gets into some wacky stuff on his television show. Oh, man. I couldn't imagine having a dad like that.
This is my favorite email. All
right. Emily writes in.
No, it's Emile Laveau.
Sure.
The topic is
show. Yes. Hey guys, so far I've listened to podcasts 7 through 11, and both the length and language are awesome. Every time I listen to one of your podcasts, I check out the games you mentioned. The ones I've tried so far are Kid Icarus and Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes. Keep up the good work. Much fan love to Matt for being awesome. Signed,
yes!
Emily
yes!
from Sweden.
Emil
from Sweden
is definitely a guy, but it's always great to have more fans. However, if you know any hot Swedish ladies, hook them up. Hook a brother up. You
send
know?
Us some Axe Yard of them.
Hook them up.
Also, yeah. I'm kind of short on cash, so if you could pick me up a meal.
Oh. But don't.
Okay, but really, a meal. This is Matt's love hour. I scrubbed the microphone in a seductive manner. Mm. This is a little extra joke for people who are in the room.
Sensual.
I just want to say, a meal. I know there's banging ladies with banging bodies out in Sweden. I know there's a lot of supermodels over there. Just give me one of those Swedish ladies. You know, even if she's kind of chunky, I'm cool with that.
Oh, it's does Emil ever take his snowmobile to eat?
I just have to say that. Come on.
Man, I'm sorry.
Emil, if you could pick me up a meal from this, if you ride your snowmobile down to McDonald's, if you're having a Mac attack, and you can drive it through the drive-thru. I saw it on World's Wackiest McDonald's on the Food Network. I know it's there. Also, say hi to my friend Jonas from Sweden. I know
Jonas
you probably
Brothers.
Know him. Yes.
They're from Sweden.
But really, if you have any pictures of your hot friends from Sweden, email them to me, special request. Email pictures of your hot friends. Down blouse, up skirt, bikini shots.
Down skirt? Like
even if they're bundled up, just as long as they've got, you know, pretty face.
Especially if they're younger than 18, right, Matt?
And if you can see a little bush, then I'll be happy.
The bush, the better.
That's it. That's it. That's the end.
Okay.
I said that's end and that's the it.
Why did Emil comment on the language? He enjoys the Koontz?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, no, the English language.
Oh,
he's
okay.
From Sweden.
Oh, okay.
It's like a whole new like thing there.
Right.
A whole
new what if he learned the English language through our podcast? How awesome would that be?
That would be awesome. Emil, if you've learned English through our podcast, let us know. Because that would be fantastic. We would give ourselves a pat on the back for that.
What is this babbling? Oh, it's starting to make sense. Oh, video games.
That was the best interpretation.
That sounded like Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah,
what are these video games?
Marty, I'm going to get my weave wet, am I right?
Now that you've referenced everything you said on the last podcast.
I was just referencing things that he has said.
Whatever.
All right, Alex.
What?
Shut the fuck up.
You have promised me, you would talk about your dating life for Laura's Sexy Time. So now I charge
now.
You to do it.
What?
You shouldn't force him.
No, Laura's got
to
be
here. I know, Laura has to be here.
I disagree. Oh my god. Just give us. Tell us what's going on. We won't give you any advice.
Adam.
Oh my god. Every time.
Guys, I have some trouble with ladies, okay? I'll do it.
All right.
I'll put myself on the line.
I'm willing to do it.
Matt.
I just want Laura here to like give me advice and stroke my.
Guys, can you please give me advice? I really need some help.
While Matt's talking, I'll give Laura a call and see if she can give us some tips.
Guys, I'm having trouble. Okay, I have this friend. Let's call him Camille. He's from Sweden. I really want him to hook me up with some of his hot Swedish friends, but I'm afraid the language barrier might be a little too much. What do you guys think?
Okay, I am going to prescribe 10 cc's of Zelda Working Title Podcast. It'll teach you English, the important words like dingus, dildle, and koontz, and you'll be, let's just say, you will be butthole deep in Swedish ladies. Like, your balls will be in there as well, so all the way to your butthole.
Wow.
Yeah.
The taint and everything.
Taint and no thing.
Guys, I'm really excited. I hope Emil... I mean, sorry, what did I say his name was? Crumeal. I hope that Crumeal hooks me up with his Swedish friends, because that would be really cool of him. Or just pictures. Or even, if you want to send an erotic text description, do that too. Really anything. I'm so desperate, I will take anything.
If you want to buy your homeless friend a Crumeal, you know?
Alright, well... While we were doing that, Laura did not answer her
phone. Call her again!
Figures.
No, call her.
She doesn't answer.
No, she never answers her phone.
She'll answer my number. She won't recognize it.
All right, I'll call her again.
I'll look it up in Matt's phone. That way no podcast listeners will be able to
cut this part out.
Okay, yeah. Laura's number.
I know you're just
one,
making this up.
1-4.
No, it's her area code. Guys, look up Laura in the area code. Can I regale you with a funny anecdote today? Who wants to hear a funny anecdote?
I do.
Well, Nick was there for this. So this guy, I was driving today, and this guy decided to go really fast behind me while
lanes.
I was changing lanes, because I was stuck behind someone who was going really slow. Then he decided he wanted to speed up to go like 65 on a 35-mile-per-hour zone. And he got so mad at me, and then when he drove by, Nick waved at him, and then we were laughing at him when he got in front of us.
Because
he had a big pink heart sticker on his back windshield.
Aww.
And then when he slowed down and wrote down my license plate number.
Yeah, it pulled up to the side of Matt and was writing numbers on his thumb.
As if he could do something with that information.
I thought he was going to shoot us.
I was like... He's gonna shoot us. Like, I don't think he's just gonna shoot us.
I don't know if he's packing a BFD or something. Made it all video game.
Okay,
friendly.
We're done with this podcast. Get the contact information.
Wait, I want to talk about my love life.
Wait,
we can't talk about.
Let Alex talk about his love life. His heart is just pounding
with
emotion.
Talk about it next time. Never mind.
It's like a 14-page thread.
Yeah, let's talk about it next time. We'll even devote a whole topic.
Yeah, let's do a whole topic to it. Next
time
we'll
do a special love podcast.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Let's do a special one with Laura, and we'll just talk about that.
All right, you guys have convinced me. We're going to do a love podcast.
I just want a fucking woman to blow
me.
Okay.
On that note...
Let's end it.
Peace!
No, hold on. Give our contact information.
All right, guys. You can find us at tinyurl.com/workingtitle or... ztpsocialboard.proboards.com. It'll take you to the same place. That is our forum. Go there, sign up, talk to us, give us ideas, you know, make friends. It's a good place to be. Email us at wtpodcast@gmail.com. Give us some subject ideas. Tell us... Ooh, Laura's texting me. She's in San Diego for the weekend.
Laura's texty time.
Yeah. Where was I? Email us. Talk to us. Make us feel good about ourselves. Respond to our topics, you know, just send us pictures, whatever.
Naked? If you're
18? Sure, why not? You know.
If you're exactly 18 years old.
Exactly.
Any
like
older,
on that day. Right the minute you turn 18.
On your birthday, in your birthday suit.
There you go. You can find us on Twitter, Zelda_WT_podcast. Our Facebook page is Zelda Working Title Podcast. And with that, we will see you guys next time. Thank you for joining
Peace.
Us. Matt, Matt,
drink
Nick,
it up,
Kyle,
guys.
And Alex. Thank you guys.
All right, bye.
Adam. Fuck you.
Bye.
Okay.
Fuck.
Peace.
T.
No, hold on. Peace.
T?
T.
The end.
He's team.